This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock, with a unique and beautiful ice skating rink to enjoy this time of year. Go to GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is anchor man, not anchor lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry
There's
Show.
No checks and balances in this process. Only for the only thing we have is a filibuster. And they think if you have a situation we have right now, where you have the executive branch of government and you have Congress, the House and the Senate, they're all the same. And there's no check and balance, because basically you just sweep right through, and the same thing could happen if Republicans had everything. And I just, the only thing I've ever said was this. The majority of my colleagues in the caucus, Democrat caucus, they've changed. They've changed their mind. I respect that. You have a right to change your mind. I haven't. I hope they respect that, too. I've never changed my mind on the filibuster.
So welcome to the Annie Fry Show. It's a great day here on the AFS. You know why? Because it's filibuster day. It's filibuster day. And what does that mean? Maybe not what you think that it means. You're gonna wanna stick around throughout the course of the day to find out the culmination of why. But I'll tip you off. So of course we're talking on this in the Senate today. They're potentially gonna take a vote on the filibuster. Brad, did you see where like Chuck Schumer is set on we're gonna put people on record?
Yeah.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah. Okay. I think everybody's already on record.
I haven't heard. Yeah, exactly. Well, no, I'm going to challenge you on that. And because I think there are a lot of Democrats, not a lot, but way more than two, who are quietly going, I'm going to eke out of this one. I got an election coming up in 2 years and 4 years. And I really don't think that this is what is best. And I don't want to be somebody who has to pick sides within the Democratic Party. Easy to pick sides between where the Democrats going and where the Republicans going. But I don't believe for a second that Manchin and Sinema are the only ones who are opposed to abolishing the filibuster. They all know the domino effect that this behavior will induce in the Senate. They all know it. And you don't have to look back very far to remember the Republicans who said the exact same thing that Manchin and Sinema are saying when their own president, President Trump, was saying, get rid of the filibuster now. Do it. You know that if the Democrats had the power, the Democrats would do it. Do it now while we have the ability to do it. The Republicans stuck to their guns and said, no, we're not doing it. I think that was wise. At the same time, might be a little foolhardy, because I agreed with Donald Trump that as soon as the Democrats got the power to do it, they'd blow the filibuster into smithereens. It's so frustrating to, you know, get power in the party that you support. And maybe, I mean, I don't know, maybe the Democrats would hear me say this and say they think that They think they feel the exact same way about their party, and I'm just seeing it from only one side, which is my side, which is what I'm here to do, is talk to you about this. Republicans get power, and then they all straighten out their ties and, you know, pop their lapels and say, we're going to do this the right way, the dignified way. Well, that's good. You should. But the Democrats don't generally do that. They don't play by the same set of rules. They don't have the same set of standards. The Democrats, from where I sit, squarely in the right side of the aisle, folks. No, this is not a fair and balanced, objective opinion. It's my opinion. It's from my head and my heart to you. You can disagree with it. You can turn it away if you like. Feels like the Republicans retain power and they in the name of, you know, all things right and good, try to go about things the right way, and they always lose. They always lose. And then the Democrats get power and they start passing things and blowing everything up because they want to win. And the Democrats are willing to do and have been willing to do what it takes to win all the time. So much so, I give you the final plea from Bernie Sanders, slowly walking down
tomorrow,
a hall.
Tomorrow, the Senate is going to be casting an enormously important vote. And that vote has to do whether or not we preserve the foundations of American democracy, or whether we allow Republican governors and legislatures all across this country to suppress the vote, to impose extreme gerrymandering, to attack independent elected officials, all of which the goal is to make it harder for people to vote, people who will vote against Republicans. It is an outrage. And tomorrow we have the opportunity to overturn what these governors and legislatures are doing. And in one way, this is a very complicated issue, constitutional aspects, et cetera, et cetera. But on the other hand, it's a pretty simple issue. And that is, tomorrow, will we vote to allow majority to rule 50 votes plus the vice president, or will we maintain the archaic and undemocratic process of needing 60 votes to pass this bill? That's what tomorrow is about. Now, right now, every Republican will be voting against us, and that's pretty pathetic. But what's equally pathetic, as of now, two Democrats in the will be voting against us as well. I would hope very much that those two Democrats, Senator Sinema and Senator Manchin, will rethink their position and understand that the foundations of American democracy are at stake, and I hope they will join 48 of us and allow us to win this enormously important vote. Thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm sorry that you had to listen to that. The weirdest thing about this is what you couldn't see, but you could hear, is that he was slowly walking down, like, the hall from The Shining. What? I guess that's the Senate hall. I don't know. Where was everybody? Nobody was there. He's slow. It's not him sitting at a desk saying his thing. It's not him on, you know, it's a video he put together for, like, Mittens Bernie Media or something like that. And he's slowly walking down the hall, talking directly to a camera. He makes a turn. This is a long walk. This is almost a 2-minute walk of him making this final plea. Pretty much, it's not even a plea. It's like a final shaming of Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin. But there's something really important here that I think that people may be overlooking. There's something about what he said right there. When you stop and you listen to his actual words, because most people are going to hear Bernie Sanders talking and they're thinking about his heavy, you know, accent, and they're, you know, listening to him in his traditional Bernie Sanders delivery and his choppy hands deliver this message, which you've heard him deliver over and over and over again, along with Democrats all over the place, pundits, politicians, all saying the same thing. So when you start listening to him talking, your brain says, okay, Bernie Sanders, filibuster, Manchin, Sinema, I know this story. I want you to listen to, I'm going to replay a portion of this. And I want you to listen to what he says, the reason why we need to change the filibuster. And his focus on the idea that this 60-vote rule, which is what they need to remove the filibuster from so that they can take votes from 60 that require 60 senators of support down to 50 plus one. His emphasis is that we need to have a scenario in this country where the majority gets to have the say. And it's worth tearing down a century of doing this a particular way because the time is now. And he says we will allow the majority to rule. Listen closely to what he says here.
Tomorrow, will we vote to allow majority to rule 50 votes plus the vice president? Or will we maintain the archaic and undemocratic process of needing 60 votes to pass this bill? That's what tomorrow is about.
So he said this yesterday. So he's talking about today. Will we vote to allow the majority to rule? The majority is ruling. This is the most basic, simple, my 5-year-old kindergartner can understand this. And if you don't quite get the idea of how much he's
now,
conflicting.
Right now, every Republican will be voting against us.
That's 50. That's 50.
Well, it's equally pathetic.
5-0.
Now,
Two Democrats will
be voting
plus two
against us as well. I would hope very much.
So 5-0.
Those two Democrats, Senator Manchin, will rethink their position.
That's 52.
And understand that the foundations of American democracy are at stake, and I hope they will join 48 of us.
52
and allow us 48. To win this enormously important vote. Thank you.
52 plus minus 100 minus 52 is 48. So I have 48 that say yes, and I have 52 that say no, and there's 100 total. So the okay, so he says here we will allow the majority to rule tomorrow. The majority 52. The vote is no! Math! It makes me mad. I mean, simply put, Bernie, you're advocating for the minority to make the decision here so that the majority can rule. That's bullcrap. You just want to rule, and you're just trying to make the numbers. This is fuzzy math. You guys remember fuzzy math? It's resurrected itself, and now it's a little bit indicative of democratic socialism here, where the idea is that there is an entity in the federal government that wants to take over your elections, and they're telling you that they want to take over your elections because they need to vote. Let's see. He said, will we vote to allow the majority to rule with 48 people in the Senate? This is easy. This is an easy one, Brad. I don't understand. I mean, remember proofs in geometry?
Yeah.
F grade. This doesn't work. And I'm a good math student, not geometry. That's like a different thing. I didn't have the patience for it. Right? Majority rule today.
Yes.
Give me a break.
52. Yeah, 52 is more than half 100. Of 100.
Will we allow the majority to rule? In fact, we will, sir. In fact, we will. When you stop and when you break it down like that, how dumb does he think you are? That he's going, he flowers it up with this idea that this is also that Republicans can stop being racist. I mean, really, at the end of this geometrical proof is Republicans racist bad. We need 48 people to vote yes so we can have a majority rule so that Republicans can be less racist. That's really the dizzying path that Bernie Sanders is trying to woo you with so that you go, you look at the end, you look at the bottom line, you go, well, I don't want to be a racist. All right, you take it. Take it home. We're not as dumb as they need us to be. And this is proof. And if you want to look at actual evidence of the value and the importance of the filibuster over time, There are Republicans and there are Democrats and there are presidents who used to be in the Senate that have advocated for the importance of the remainder of the filibuster to stay. And you want to know why? You want to know the key point? Why? Because there's always another election around the corner. And if it ever gets to the extent where the country gets so disenchanted with the party that they have previously been attached to, like, say, this very moment in time, that power will shift. And when that power shifts, the wind changes, and these politicians just get to change their vocal opinion on it because now is the time? Oh, please. Manchin, Sinema, if you're a Republican and you are grateful for what they are doing across the aisle right now, not for Republicans, but for the Constitution, if you are grateful, as I am, for Senators Manchin and Senator Sinema, you need to remember this when the wind changes again. We need to get back in this country. Is it possible? I have no idea. But we need to get back in this country to the idea that the people who pass the laws in this country, that's the legislature. That we don't rule the country by executive order. Trump did it a ton. Obama did it a ton. It goes back. Executive order. That's always going to be the case. But laws need to be passed in the legislature. And the reason we have it set up right now is purposeful. It's supposed to be a slow process because we don't want people who we send to Washington, D.C. to be able to control us on a whim. It has to be difficult because we're the ruling class. Lest ye not forget. I know all of you are sitting at home somewhere near somebody who's been taking math classes over Zoom. Make sure they're not teaching this kind of fuzzy math because this math sucks. Man. I told you at the beginning of the day that this was a great day because it's filibuster day. And now that we've talked a little bit about the filibuster and we know they're supposed to be debating this today, potentially taking a vote on this today, because Schumer wonderfully wants everybody to be on record. At 2:25 today, we are going to have our very own Ryan Wiggins debate the segment. And he's going to debate, or not, he's going to filibuster the segment. And he is going to filibuster the segment based on the topics, specific topics. And I want you guys to get specific. Specific topics that you comment on the live stream. Hashtag filibuster AF. We will filter them all apart. And at 2:25, we will go through and I will throw out your topic suggestions for him to filibuster. He will do it on the spot. He will not know the topics ahead of time. He's been instructed and has agreed to not look at the comments ahead of time. And it should be great fun for all of us, even Ryan, I think. He kind of seemed excited about this.
I'd say that was an understatement.
Right. Okay. So give us your comments. Join the live stream. We are on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, Twitch, Twitter, Getter, Rumble, you name it. We're there at Annie Fry Show. Save YouTube as Annie Fry. Hashtag filibuster AF. We will use your topics for him to debate at 2:25 in a wonderful filibuster segment. An ode to Bernie Sanders, who wants the filibuster to end. Maybe we'll all want the filibuster to end at the end of this. Who knows? Stick around. We're going to talk with Mark Cox about some Missouri news in just a minute. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
Is the Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
Right, show. So glad to have you here today. A reminder that at 2:25 p.m. today, you're going to want to be here on the Annie Fry Show, probably streaming live and watching us on the webcams, because at 2:25, Ryan Wiggins is going to do an impromptu filibuster based on your topics that I will randomly throw at him and let him do his Ryan Wiggins thing with that. And then at the end, we will all decide if we want to keep or end the filibuster. I wonder if Mark Cox has a thought on that. Let's talk to Mark Cox about it. Mark, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for coming on with us. We appreciate you being here.
Well, thank you, Annie. Some people would argue that I do a filibuster for about 4 hours every morning.
Yeah, some days better than others. I can totally relate to that. Is there a topic you would like to hear Ryan Wiggins filibuster about? You can feel free to let us know that. He's going to go about a minute or two on each of these topics that the listeners suggest, and we're going to see what he's made of.
Well, you know, I don't know. I would like to maybe hear Ryan give me his thoughts on whether it was Van Hagar or Van Halen was the better band. What do you think?
I am writing it down. Van Hagar versus Van Halen. That's one that we're going to tip him off on. He can research now because you know he's listening. Mark, I wanted to ask you, first of all, about the redistricting that's going on in the state of Missouri now. As you know, I'm from that east side of the river, and you should see District 13 that I live in right now. It is the Metro East. It goes up through Decatur all the way up into Champaign. It's just this little strip of all these college towns that they put together and that they've drawn for a candidate that they had in mind when they drew it, and a Democrat. They want to flip it blue. Now, in Missouri, they definitely are not going to have the kind of maps that they have in the state of Illinois. Yet, I hear a lot of dissent within the Republican Party over how this should be done. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah, well, we don't have quite the intestinal fortitude as Republicans in Missouri that the Democrats do, apparently, in Illinois and other states. We just don't. There are a number of examples around the country of where Democrats who are in some cases, supermajorities, as they are in Illinois, believe that redistricting is a reflection of the population, of how they voted for the past 8 or 10 years. And in Missouri, that's overwhelmingly Republican. And there's an opportunity before them. In fact, Nick Schroer, who I know you know Nick as well, is a state representative. He's running for Senate out in St. Charles County. He read him the Riot Act yesterday and said, listen, we need to vote on making this a 7-to-1 map. So it's currently 6 Republican districts, 2 Democrat seats in the state of Missouri. He said, we can easily redraw this to make it 7 Republican districts and one Democratic district, that being CD1 there in the city of St. Louis. He got shut down by Republican leadership and basically sent back to his seat, and they voted in the House to approve a weak 6-to-2 map. And I say weak because, you know, Ann Wagner's seat, she had to fight a couple years ago. This past election, she didn't. But in Congressional District 2, Annie, in the 2020 election, Josh Hawley lost in that district. Think about that. I mean, so in other words, CD2 as it stands is still red on the map, but it's turning more and more purple. And without it being shored up a little bit to ensure that it's a solid red district, two election cycles down the road, it could very well turn blue. And the Republicans have an opportunity to fix that. And for some reason, it's baffling to me. It's baffling to Nick Schroer. They won't do it. They split up St. Charles County. They could have included all of St. Charles County in CD2, and that would have truly strengthened that district. And for some reason, they opted not to do that. So, and everybody's baffled by it.
Let me ask you the obvious question here that maybe there isn't an obvious answer to. Why would Republican leadership balk at that? You said it's a weak 6-2, which is probably the best way I've heard it described, because I hear people going, it's a 6-2 map, but other people say, no, it's 5-3. And by that, what you mean is there are eight seats, there are eight congressional seats in the state of Missouri, and six of the districts are going to be GOP districts, and two of them are going to be Dem districts. And the concern is that it's going to go from six GOP, two Dem, to five GOP. If you've got the leadership, if you've got the Republican Party in control, what reasons are they giving to suggest that dividing the county, the St. Charles County, is the right way to go?
Well, guess who's not in a supermajority anymore in the House of Representatives in Missouri, and that's the Republicans, because they've had a couple of Republicans resign, and it's dropped them just below the threshold to do whatever it is they want to do. So the argument on the part of leadership is that in order to get enough votes to get this done in what's called an emergency clause, which means it would go into effect in 30 days, they need to have some Democrats voting with them.
Well,
and they basically negotiated on the second congressional district, in my opinion. And on that, on the Cleaver's district, they're not even trying to go after Cleaver's district over in Kansas City. It's a numbers game, but that doesn't mean they should go down without a fight. And right now, it appears they're willing to go down without a fight.
Okay, so here's a question from somebody who sits on the opposite party. I'm in the super minority in the state of Illinois, and I look at what Democrats are doing to make sure that they can get every Democrat seat possible and the lengths that they go to. And I have seen the map that State Rep Nick Schroer has put out, and it does not look anything like the maps that Illinois Democrats come up with to try to do the gerrymandering that they do. Is it the legislature's responsibility, if they retain the power, to draw themselves the most favorable map? Because when I'm looking at the supermajority of Democrats that run the state of Illinois, and I'm seeing how they are manipulating the map to try to favor their party, I feel like it would be hypocritical for me to criticize or to not criticize the Republicans in the state of Missouri for doing the exact same thing. However, when I compare those maps, what the Democrats are doing in Illinois versus what at least I've seen from Nick Schroer in Missouri, they're incomparable in the way you could air quotes accuse it of gerrymandering.
I would agree. I mean, when I think of gerrymandering, I think of something that's drawn to look almost like a dog's hind leg. You have to draw it an extraordinary map to make it fit what you want it to be.
Illinois looks like an etch-a-sketch took care of.
It's
obnoxious.
And that's not the case. That's not the case in the state of Missouri, in my opinion. People have their little fiefdoms, and for some reason they've been able to bring that to bear. And you know, Annie, here's probably what's going to happen. It's going to go to the Senate. The conservatives in the Senate are going to try to modify it a little bit. I don't know if they're going to have any luck doing that. I hope they do. What they're trying to do is completely constitutional. But at the end of the day, I think that just to draw a parallel here with what happened in Virginia, where there was a lot of blowback with what Terry McAuliffe tried to do and said about parents in the schools, and parents kind of stood up and said no.
Right.
I think there's an effort underway in Missouri by a group of people to fund primary challenges and to find truly conservative candidates in many of these districts around Missouri, where they talk one game when they're running for election and they vote differently when they get to Jeff City. So maybe whatever happens here we're not going to be happy with it. I think it is going to fuel those challengers in those districts to get rid of some of these people who are rhinos in how they govern once they get down to Jeff City. That's the rosiest picture I can paint of this.
Hmm.
I have to hope there's some pushback and that we're successful in getting rid of some of these people who say one thing and then vote a different way when they get in office.
Well, that's the accountability that elections afford us, and it's important that people are willing to stand up for the actions that they choose to engage in. We're speaking with Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show, 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. here on 97.1 FM Talk. On the Mark Cox Morning Show, little birdie told me that Governor Parson will be on tomorrow at 7:35 a.m. to recap the speech that he is going to give today, the State of the State, for Missouri. I'm curious, you know, briefly, you could filibuster as long as you want. I have till 3. And then Joe Biden is apparently going to take over. That'll be interesting. Do you have an opinion on the state of Missouri, Mark Cox?
Well, you know, I think Governor Parson has done a fine job so far and nothing out of the ordinary from what I expected out of him. I will say, and I've said this to him, other governors, including Ron DeSantis, have been much more forward-thinking when it came to dealing with the pandemic. I thought that the governor's been too hands-off over that. I felt he could have done more sooner to take power away from Sam Page and some other health officials across the state. I mean, that's a positive. And on his watch, we raised the gas tax, which he was in favor of, which I think, you know, in hindsight, The state is now flush with cash. We've got more money than we know what to do with. Wouldn't that be a nice situation to have in Illinois? They've got more money than they know what to do with. Why did we need to raise the gas tax 10 cents? So I don't know. These State of the Union speeches tend to be a rah-rah speech. I'm anxious to hear what the governor is going to say this afternoon. Obviously, it's going to be about attracting new business and maybe trying to reduce some regulations and all of that. The question I want to ask him is, why didn't he call a concurrent special session right now with the legislature to get the votes he needed to get this redistricting map through? And is he willing to veto a map that weakens the second congressional district? So when I get him on tomorrow, there's a couple. I mean, I want to find out about the state of the state, obviously, but I'm also very interested in finding out his thoughts on this redistricting map, because he does have the power of the veto.
Mm. Yeah, that's
if he'll do it.
Right. You know, Mark, when you said, wouldn't that be nice in the state of Illinois? When you're telling me about the things that need to be done better in Missouri, I kind of have this, like, this thing where I'm on the other side of Missouri's, not first world problems, but, like, first supermajority problems, where I'm like, oh, my gosh. I mean, I wish we were having that fight right now. We're in the super minority of everything. Although I will tip you off, talking a little Missouri here on my show, but I will tip you off that the Illinois governor race, the challengers to J.B. Pritzker, that's a hot race, and more people are getting in. And I am very excited for the enthusiasm that if Illinois, I mean, just Missouri folks, Mark, just pay attention to how immediately free Illinois gets the second a new governor is sworn in. It would be very, very, very Virginia-esque, and I'm praying for it. And looking to Missouri to see how they're doing things and how it's being implemented in a successful way. And, of course, like you're always saying, how it can be better. Always room for improvement.
Yeah, I've seen the Pritzker reelection commercials already, and
they're
I just
full
about
of
can't.
Crap.
I know. I can't believe he can look in the camera and lie like that smile on his face about what he's done.
Do you know that you know that Illinois is still under a mask mandate, right? You know that we have been under a mask mandate since basically, I think, July of last year. Like, what people are fighting in the city and the county here in Missouri, Illinois has, the entire state has just been under these edicts of our tyrannical governor for this entire time. And he wouldn't even come on my show when that tornado that hit the Amazon building hit my parents' farm. He wouldn't even come talk to me. So let's beat him. And look to Missouri for a little bit of freedom's way. I'm
wow.
Encouraged. Yeah.
He declined an invitation.
Trisha, the very best booking agent that we have here at the station, as you know, she contacted them, was very sweet. We basically said we would talk Amazon tornado relief for people here only, and they responded and they said they'd look and see what they could do, and they never found time for us. So It's too bad, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. How much time do we have left, Annie?
You can tell. You're going into Wiggins America, so you got all the time you need.
3 o'clock, that's good. That's good. So, yeah, it's interesting, though, how many people there are efforts underway that people don't realize across America to change every state into an Illinois or a California or a New York.
It's a test kitchen.
And we have to pay attention to that, because in Missouri, we've got these ridiculous initiative petitions where anybody with enough money can get something on the ballot. And the one we have coming up now is called ranked choice voting. I spent a lot of time talking about this on my show.
Yeah, you can go to 971. Go to 971talk.com, and you can see the article featured on the top there and listen to it and get your take, because I've seen that you've been pretty emphatic on that.
Well, it's about somebody wants to change the way we vote in Missouri because they don't like the outcome of the way the residents of Missouri have been voting, and they see this as an opportunity to sneak in and turn us back into a purple or potentially a blue state one of these days. That's all it's about, because to me it's no different than the filibuster debate in D.C. Why do you're not getting your way, so you want to change the rules. And they're trying to change the way we vote to change who's getting elected.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the most confusing system. I joked earlier, there's some video that's gone viral today of a Senate candidate down, I believe is it in Texas, who did a campaign ad. Oh, no, Louisiana, who did a campaign ad while smoking a blunt.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did you see it? Did you see it?
Yeah.
So my question is,
how do you feel about that?
Stoned were the people that came up with the idea of ranked choice voting, because honestly, you'd have to be somewhere else with your brain to figure that this was a good idea.
Yeah.
It's horrendous. It really is.
Van Hagar or Van Halen? We've got it for you, Mark.
That's the question that I want to hear filibustered by Ryan Wiggins.
2:25 p.m. It will be in there, I promise. Mark, thank you so much. We'll be tuning in tomorrow morning, especially at 7:35, when you talk to Governor Parson about those specific issues. Great to have you back, Mark. Thank you so much.
Annie, thank you.
We'll take a quick break here. Mark Cox of the Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays 5 a.m. to 9 a.m., right here on 97.1 FM Talk. We got to hurry and get out of here because Wiggins has got to hurry up and get in here. Ryan, come in here. It's your time. I'm sorry. Mark just kept talking. He took it all. It's his idea. We'll give you a whole segment in the 2 o'clock hour. If you have something, a specific topic that you would like to, off the cuff, hear Ryan Wiggins filibuster at 2:25 p.m. today, we're going to rapid fire these at him, and your topic might be one of them. So go on to the comments, the live chat on the Annie Fry YouTube channel, the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, hashtag filibuster AF. Yours might be in there. We'll be right back. Stewart's American Mortgage, the guy who has the bagel loan for your cash out refinance now. Basically, think about it this way. The equity in your house, if your house was worth $300,000 when you bought it, it could be worth $375,000 right now. I don't know. Check out the Zillow link and see the increase on it. Inventory is low, so houses are going up in value. If you want to use some of that equity and take it out and reinvest it in your home or pay off that high interest credit card debt, pay off loans that you might have, as rates are going to tick up, your credit card interest rates are going to go up as well. Now is the time, because when you use the bagel loan with Stewie at Stewart's American Mortgage, I am a customer myself. When I talk about this, I've experienced it as a customer. I'm not just paid to talk to you about it. You need to understand that there are no fees. So there's no reason not to call Stewie and see how he can help your financial situation. Do a cash out refinance, invest in your home, or just do a refinance, secure that lower rate, or shave years off the length of your loan. Call him or text him at 314-324-4440. His personal phone, 314-324-4440. Google the bagel loan, NMLS number 226715.
Menards has what you need to keep your home safe. From smoke and carbon monoxide alarms to fire extinguishers, Kidde home safety products keep your family protected from emergencies. Grab a general use fire extinguisher. It lasts up to 12 years, and it adds an extra measure to protect you and your family at home. Save big money on Kidde home safety products. Good through January 23rd, right now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Hi, it's Michael Mohan at Community Mortgage.
As we go into a new year, it is a great time to get started on a new home loan. If you've been thinking about a cash out refinance to pay off debt or update your home, act now while equity is at an all-time high and interest rates are still at historic lows. Maybe it's the year that you're going to reduce your term or get rid of the dreaded PMI. Perhaps this is the year that you buy a new home. Call me now so you can shop with confidence. When you call, there will be no gimmicks or sales pitch. Just straightforward, upfront information on refinancing and home buying options. So call me today, 314-336-6050. 314-336-6050. Or online at communitymortgagestl.com.
Community Mortgage LLC, 224143, NMLS, 250353.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show live from the Air Comfort Service Heating and Cooling Studio. In addition to heating and cooling, Air Comfort Service also offers indoor air quality, water heater, and AeroSeal duct sealing services. Get in your comfort zone with aircomfortservice.com.
Back in the car and back on the road, we're with you. Dependable traffic with Sue Thomas. Driven by Ambassador Midwest Floor Company. The best way to deal with in-home traffic. Experience more at Ambassador Midwest Floor. This is The Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to The Annie Fry Show. A reminder, the Hannah Cam is up and running right now. Hannah is taking your questions and your suggestions. Before we get to it, Ryan, I'm very, very, very excited for 225. You should talk in your microphone.
Okay. I am doing that now. I'm excited because I realize that filibustering isn't necessarily making great points.
No, you just have to talk.
You just got to fill the time.
And you can't take a bathroom break.
That's right.
You know what we should do? You should have to drink 6 ounces of water per segment
before
you go.
Let's not do that because there's a radio station that got in a lot of trouble.
I know.
Well, we could do that. Let's do this. Bedpan while I talk. Catheter, maybe.
Okay, but you're going to go into Camel X. We'll just pipe you in.
Okay.
You can go in their studio.
I'll go in that other one.
Why does he have a bedpan? What's the catheter?
Why is the KFTK guy in there with a bedpan? What's he doing?
Oh, you know those 97-1ers. They just do whatever they want.
They're wild over
there. Are you ready?
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Real quick, before we get to Wiggins America, which is what I do every time, let's do Wiggins America.
And then let's talk about this other thing.
If you would like to make a suggestion on a topic, I want specific topics that Ryan Wiggins will filibuster at 2:25 p.m. today. We are going to rapid fire your suggestions. We've already got about a dozen of them in here on the live chat, the Annie Fry YouTube channel, the Annie Fry Show Facebook page, the Twitch page. You can go in there and comment, hashtag filibuster AF, and we will throw those at you. And you've promised me that you're not going to read them ahead of time.
You're correct. I logged on real quick to the webcam and realized, no, I can't do this today.
Then you'll see.
Because I was seeing the hashtag. And I didn't read any, though. So, okay. No, I'm not looking at them.
Fantastic.
Okay, for Wiggins America, since we don't have a whole lot of time here.
You're coming back at 1:25.
I am, because I've got a whole bunch of stuff here that's actually what is in the Freedom to Vote Act, as it's called.
Which is what they need to remove the filibuster to pass.
Yes.
So the filibuster is a separate thing. From the point of removing the filibuster is so that they can pass what you're going to talk to us about
the
at 1:25.
Freedom to Vote Act. Because I feel like what we've done is a lot of times, even me, we've kind of gone to our corners and we say, well, I know what I want, but why do you want it? Let's talk about that and what's actually in this thing, what we can agree on, and why we want to keep the filibuster and not pass this thing. So what's going on right now, though, have you heard of the Plan B Democrats are considering?
You're talking about birth control.
Nope. Have you heard of Plan B, Annie? No, have you heard of what they're trying to do to circumvent getting rid of the filibuster?
No.
Have you heard? You haven't heard anything about this?
No.
Okay.
You suggested it today, and I decided to not look it up.
Good. Because what they're talking about, now, I don't think it's going to happen.
Trusting you, Wiggins.
Yeah, this is from multiple sources.
Mm-hmm.
Tim Kaine of Virginia is kind of leading this thing, but there are multiple senators who are considering doing this.
He was almost the vice president of the United States.
Yes, he was.
Bizarre.
Yes, he was. They are considering, including Chuck Schumer, trying to use procedural rules to get around just this one filibuster. Now, that doesn't mean they would end the filibuster. It just means that they might be able to make it into an old-fashioned talking filibuster, which means that if they're able to, you'd have...
We're going to get to see it.
50 senators who are required, if they're going to filibuster this thing, and you're talking you'd have to filibuster this thing for almost 12 months, keeping talking forever, and they say... Now, there's lots of questions about what would the rules be, because this hasn't been done in so long, that there's apparently a rule that says, well, each senator can only speak twice. Mm. But then there are rules to get around that by the opposition party, which would be the Republicans here, that say, no, wait a second, but you can declare motions to debate other topics that would give you another two times to filibuster it. So this could, if they did this, which again, I don't think that is going to happen based on all of the information that I'm reading, it could last months and months. One filibuster that never ended.
It would be the most productive thing that the Senate Republicans have done in a long time. Mm-hmm. If they were to slow the roll in, I mean, because they're not going to want to do that. Democrats aren't going to want to do that because they're passing judges at a breakneck pace. We used to talk all the time about how many judges that the Trump administration was getting confirmed, and Mitch McConnell was going boom, boom, boom here, and he was bargaining. We'll talk about this on the floor if you give us two more judges and blah, blah, blah. I would assume that if that is engaged, that that process, if it doesn't come to a full stop, is incredibly hindered, along with anything else. I mean, maybe the Democrats would enjoy that because then the Republicans would be the obstructionists. Mm-hmm. Yes, that's why they are there. That the Republicans would be the obstructionists, and that would be a talking point going into the election.
But yeah, but you're right. That's one of the reasons I don't think they'll actually do it. Another is that you'd have to get a lot more senators on board, even on the Democrat side, than they have right now.
Would Manchin and Sinema participate?
That's the thing I can't find, is whether you'd actually have to have all 50 of your Democrats vote to change those rules, because if so, you're not going to get it because it's the same thing. But if you just have maybe a committee that could change the rules.
Did you hear my math problem earlier? Were you listening?
Maybe. Yeah, I heard something about math.
Well, I'm gonna just randomly math.
I just heard math.
I'll revisit it at 125 to kind of set up the Freedom to Vote Act that you're going to talk about.
Was this
about
when you were talking about Bernie? Mm-hmm. Yes, I did hear this.
He's got 48 people who think the way he does.
Yes.
And 52 people who don't think the way that he does. And I quote, he says that today will we vote to allow the majority to rule.
Yes.
Thinking that the numbers are
right
there.
Now, 52 senators are voting to keep them filibuster. That would be, as far as I understand math, a majority,
out of 100.
Yeah.
See, you can simplify 52 out of 100 if that's not simple enough. And that would be 26 out of 50, which is 13 out of 25. 12 and a half. 13 is the majority. So the majority would say, no, we don't want to remove the filibuster. So maybe he's just prophetic. Maybe we will vote to allow the majority to rule. It just isn't in his favor.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. The math does get a little, well, you know what? I was going to say complicated, but it's really easy.
That's the thing that is so frustrating about it. That he says that so boldly, wrapped up in "we need to do this or no minority will ever vote again," is basically the message. Yeah. What is wrong with this picture? We're going to talk with Life Action about pro-life measures when we come back. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.